It's a mud puddle, right?
Water splashing.
Water splashing. Fly. Mud flying. How fast do you go through a mud puddle if you're barely making it? Not real fast. Is that about describe? You ever feel like that describes you? There's mud flying. There's some children that are either excited or not so excited. But you're not making much progress. Even the speedometer says you're going 40 miles an hour. But you're not going anywhere. So it can feel that way at school sometimes. Seems like there's just a lot of mud. We're not going anywhere. And we're just burning out. The goal I have is to hopefully give permission that you don't have to burn out. It's not required of you, I would like to think. You have permission to do what it takes to not burn out. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole quitting thing or not. That's not for us to decide here. So if that's the answer, sometimes it is, but I'd like to think it doesn't have to be the answer. You're not doing yourselves or your students any good by completely just burning out. The pile of ashes is not providing a lot of value, except as fertilizer, maybe, I'm not sure. It's a bit of a burden to me that we have a lot of quality teachers that got a lot of teacher left in them that aren't teaching anymore. And that's too bad. Surely somebody could have came along and helped fueled them a little better, not make them burn out. So you said you're not teaching anymore. Is there anybody else that is not teaching currently?
Just taking a break.
Taking a break. Okay, good. I'd be interested to hear more about that maybe too. So basically my question is, we're not talking to board members, because I got some ideas for board members too, but that's okay. We're dealing with it. We got to deal with it ourselves, right? Now, there's a couple things I want to make clear. I don't know, you can call them disclaimers or something first. One is, if you're a lazy teacher, this class is not for you. You probably should leave, except now we just called you lazy, so you can hardly admit that, right? I don't think you are. That's why you come to a place like this and do stuff. But just to make that clear, if you are sliding in 2 minutes before the students get there and you leave 2 minutes after they leave, and that's your habit, those kind of things, well, look, I'm not giving you permission to be lazy, just to not burn out. So I want to get that clear. If you're not on fire, you won't burn out, right? I heard of an employee that came to his boss and, "Oh, boss, I'm just so burned out." The boss said, "You aren't burned out. You ain't never been on fire in the first place," right? So, right, see the difference there. If you're not on fire in the first place, it's not burnout you got. It's something else. I don't think that's you, but just to make that clear. On the other side of this, and this is real to people. I hope this isn't true for you either. But if you're not sleeping at night and you're having panic attacks, you need to do something about that. And I'm saying that now because I'm not going to deal with that. Because if that's the level it's at, if you are about cracking, however you want to define that, I heard of a teacher not so long ago who was determined she was not going to accept help. I can do this. Oh, you got this student who has got these issues. I know, but I'll get it. About Christmas break, I don't know the details specifically, but she pretty much fell apart. I don't know to what degree, but pretty badly. And I'm not at all mocking or criticizing. I'm just saying if you're at that point, please do something about it when you get to that point. That's kind of the other extreme. The other thing I don't want to sound like is that I descended from some mount of wisdom with golden tablets and I'm here to tell you, all you little people that burn out, what to do. I feel a lot like the man that he got married and he went around giving seminars on, I think he titled it, How to Raise Children. He had a few years and a few children and he had a title, it was Some Suggestions on Child Training. And after a number of years later and a few children, he had his new talk was called Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. See what's happening? A bit of experience brought him down. I feel like what I'm doing here is that. Feeble hints to fellow strugglers. I had someone not very many months ago say, well, you just burned out, I think, maybe. Well, other people, I guess, decided in. I don't know. So if you are really, it's heavy load. You have my sympathies, and I want to be very careful that what I'm saying here is not some kind of oh, just pull your boots on a little faster and yeah, you know, that kind of thing. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. So if you're going to teach, there's a risk of you burning out. I'm sorry. You're not just hammering nails or you know, whatever. You can burn out of that too, I guess. But there is a chance that this job is important that you're doing. You're doing big boy and big girl stuff, right? It's important stuff. And when you do important stuff, you have a risk of burning out. Jesus, I don't think he burned out, but he it was just a lot for him, right? And he was Jesus. You know, he's walking through the crowd and he feels virtue going out of him. It's that, you ever feel like virtue was going out of you? Those, not as Jesus, but in other ways. So we're giving and we're pumping a lot out of our tank, and there's a chance. So if you're on fire, and obviously we're going to assume you are, and I'm sure you are, good for you. That's who we're talking to. Now, I would like to suggest being on fire is not always gregarious, outgoing, and loud. Some teachers, because of their really high intense energy, they burn out faster. That's true, but it doesn't have to be that. And so think of it this way. You have a pleasant campfire versus dynamite. Which one's going to last longer? They're both burning. They're both making heat. They're both teaching students, right? If you see the parallels. But a campfire, you've got time. You keep putting stuff in, and it'll keep burning, right? So you're going to have to be on fire, but you're going to have to be the kind of fire that keeps adding. You light some gunpowder. Off it goes. It's really exciting. All the students like that teacher, right? Even the parents think they're pretty great. But it's not going to be effective long term. You've got to start all over from nothing, get some more gunpowder, and light it off again. And not many of us can live that kind of life, right? So try the campfire method rather than the gunpowder approach, probably. So what would you suggest causes burnout for the person sitting beside you? Because we hate to admit it for ourselves, right? No, what causes this stuff? What makes you, at the end of the day, just want to pull hair? I mean, your own, not other people's, and things like that. What kind of stuff is it?
The uncooperative child.
Uncooperative children. I was going to say, what age are these children? 40 or uncooperative parents?
Maybe that's not the right word.
I'll go with it. It's reality sometimes. Now, doesn't mean they're wrong and we're right, but is there something not happening?
Too full of schedule.
Too full of schedule.
Not feeling supported.
Not feeling supported. Very big.
Learning struggles.
Your own or the children's?
Mine too.
Well, you're learning how to deal with them. Yeah, either one, yes. But yes, definitely for children that are just not getting it.
Can it also be just any long-term tension or frustration that just doesn't go away?
And what's funny about that, well, I want to go over them in more detail some too, but what's funny about that one is if you come along and say, I had this struggle and it's really burning me out, or whatever phrase you're using, people say, it's not a big deal. No, it's not. But it's been happening for months. Yes. So sometimes it's small stuff. I've told them that, you know, here's the situation. They're just like, well, yeah, we all have hard days. What's the matter? What they're not seeing is a hard day long enough is a big deal.
Staff relationships.
We've had a couple that addressed actual. So what do teachers do? They teach math, right? Well, that's not what's wearing us out. Yeah, the learning difficulties, there's a few, but not primarily. All right, let's go over a few of them. I'm not taking them in any order from you, or just what I have written down, so I don't miss any. The one I called, we talked about these two. I wrote down no participation by the people you're trying to help. A heart doctor told me one time, he said the most frustrating thing in his job is people come to him, want him to fix their hearts, and then, you know, go home smoking, eating a Big Mac, and that stuff. He said they don't want to participate in the whole thing of fixing their heart disease. I'm supposed to fix it all for him. And it's frustrating because he fixes their heart up, goes in there, gets it repaired, and they go out and damage it again. You ever run into that? These people you're trying to help, the students, You're just dragging them through the books. Now, is that your problem? Is that sometimes theirs? Well, that's a big subject. But, yeah, that's hard. Or worse yet, what we brought up, parents that aren't necessarily trying to help with this process either. They've hired you to do this, but then they aren't sure. I asked someone who taught maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago, and I said something about, some days all those studies and students. He said, students? No, oh, he said, we can deal with that. He said, it's those parents that drove him. Well, yeah. Proverbs, I think it is, says, hope deferred makes what?
The heart,
the heart sick. Hope deferred. It says hopelessness. It's a little more, we talked about this on, and it's just not getting anywhere. I work to fix this behavior problem, and it just doesn't change. And I taught this lesson twice, and they still miss it on the test. And I was so sure, I had examples, and I was waving stuff around, and they still didn't get it. And here's a student, and nobody knows what to do with them. And here they come up through, and this kind of, and if you're ever on a board or anything, or if you're a co-teacher, don't ever tell another teacher to keep doing what you're doing. I have promised to make extremely loud noises if anyone ever tells me that thing again. Right? I don't bring it up because it's working. Hey, we had math and it worked. It's not generally an after-school discussion. Well, keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes that's right, but I think there's better ways to get that across. Hopelessness. I found out one day that I had a student who had been lying and cheating for weeks, and I hadn't figured out. I knew there was a problem and something was strange, but he had been lying for, I think, a long time. And I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever struggled with anger. I was, if I can admit it, was just about furious. The co-teacher said, that's not going to help anything. I know, I'm just admitting, I was really, really frustrated. Stuff like that, it's tough. And he actually didn't know how to do a good part of his algebra book, it turned out. Now what are we going to do? I mean, I knew he was struggling in algebra, I just didn't realize this is how he was making it, this method. Unreasonable expectations of yourself can also cause it. Every good teacher always, I don't know what you fill in the blank there, but if you put unreasonable expectations on yourself, it's going to be hard. You get boards and parents that criticize without tangible action to back it up. Someone said once, your room is too noisy, but that's fine. Okay, that is it too noisy or is it fine? Don't change anything. It's fine. It's just noisy. What am I supposed to do with that, right? Things like that. It's like, well, a board member told me one time, I don't get paid for all the hard work I do. I was making not very much per day. And I'm supposed to feel guilty for that yet too? I wasn't feeling guilty for my wages. It wasn't very much at the time. Inferiority. Do you ever sit in a class, especially like at something like this? Not this kind of class, but like, this is a math class. We're teaching science or something. And you just feel like, wow, I hope nobody asks how I do it because I'm not very good. Well, we all have those spots, by the way. Welcome to life. But those kind of things can really, really wear you out. Boredom. Did you teach several years? I'm just boring. If that is the case, may I suggest that you start teaching students and stop teaching subjects? There is a huge difference between students and subjects. If you're teaching subjects, you'll wear out. A teacher one time that I know of claimed, I kind of climbed the top of the ladder. I'm just kind of got the top of the ladder of what we're doing here, and I don't know. I guess I'll do something else. Oh, you poor fella. Come on. People keep coming in. Low pay. The Florida Education Association said the issues driving educators away are two things, low pay and a lack of professional respect. That was public schools, as I understood the survey. I think I've heard people talk about that, and not public schools. And be careful of assigning burnout to something that's totally unrelated to school. So we raised dogs for a while. And inside our little mini barn was the value of twice what I had made the first year I taught school. That's how many dogs were in there. All of a sudden, we had dogs galore. Someone asked me, what are you going to do with all that money? I said, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I can figure out. Over the next couple weeks, We gave so much medicine. We bought so much medicine. We bought more medicine. We spent so much time giving medicine, and I lost money. And it should have given me twice what I would have made the first year of school. And in fact, one day, I actually got a substitute for a few hours because a lady showed up. A lady was promised she's going to show up, and she's going to take us to court over one of these dogs. And then while she was there, she tried to buy another one. I said, no. Anyway, did that have anything to do with school? Nope. Was it the school's fault? I was pretty stressed out? Nope. But I still got to deal with it. So be careful of assigning it to a school, and it's totally something else, because that happened. Another thing that can burn out is there's no end. There's no end. May of 2025 is about three generations away. I don't think we're ever getting there. I'm not sure that's going to come. And just looks so far away. Even Saturday can really be far away sometimes. And the lessons, and, you know, I don't know. I think I'd like to teach first, second, third. I really, really would like to. My board won't let me so far. But I think the thing I would struggle with is tying shoes and helping people wipe their noses and. And so if you teach little people and have to do all that stuff, good for you. There's probably a reason I don't, because that would be, that I think would wear me out pretty fast. Just that constant. They have parents, we thought, but apparently not today they don't, you know, that kind of thing. I think they were, yeah, upper graders, you know, something's coming, these algebra things, and it's impossible to know if you study enough. Anyway, this I find very interesting, to wrap up all the negative, what causes it, let's talk about what to do. In February of 2022, which is 2 years past COVID, all right, there was a poll taken, a Gallup poll, supposed to be reputable, that 44% of K through 12 teachers, which I think we probably all are, were either said always or very often burned out. 44% said that. Guess how many healthcare workers said that? 31%. 2 years into COVID, or after COVID, more teachers were stressed out than nurses, or at least identified as that. That is intriguing. We got a problem. So let's do something about it. Burnout, by the way, is not having a bad day or just completely didn't get algebra taught or adverbs taught or something. All right. So don't take it there. It's not just being tired today. So what can you do personally? Maybe you have comments as we go. I don't know. I'll raise your hand. Speak up if you got something. I'll keep going, I guess, if not. But there's some things you got to do personally, and that is, and these are somewhat kind of a reply to what we did. One is assume it's hard work. You know, I don't know. You kind of hear people teach for strange reasons, like whatever. But you just got to go into it. This is hard. Let's just admit it. This is not some kind of, you know, coast along work 8 to 3 kind of thing. It's hard. So that's what you can do is understand it. Don't, you know, get the expectations to where some days I'm going to be tired. Most days, maybe twice a day I'll be tired, right? Someone said he's retired. He was tired yesterday. And he's tired again today, right? This is hard, okay? So let's just get that out in the open. Apparently, the school board thought you could do it. Apparently, the parents still send their children. So if somebody thinks you can do it, maybe it's time that you start thinking you can do it too. Okay, that's a general. These are general statements, so you got to take them in context. I think it helps me a lot. Hopefully, it helps you too. That to understand why you're teaching. Try to back up and what's this all about? Is it a calling? May I move on to other pursuits? When do I? I'd rather not deal with. You know, there. It's a lot of individual things, but this is more than about you. It's these children. It's souls. You have a chance. There is a chance. Some things you do today. Unfortunately, the bad things. If you really, really do some terrible things, it will have impacts for years. The good things. It's a little harder to measure, but I think you still have them. That you're doing things that are going to last for a very long time. And that's one of the great things about getting to look back and see children you taught when they were younger. Now they're grown up. Now they're married. Now they're doing stuff at church. Now they're, you know, that kind of thing. And that provides, should provide some incentive. And look beyond what these children are today. So today they're students and they're just sitting there and they've got all these problems. Well, they might be your co-teacher someday if you hang around long enough. That's kind of rewarding. I got to do that 1 year. It's kind of interesting. One of my students married my sister, and we got along fine. This is the reason why you should always get along with all your, at least try to make the relationship as good as possible. Someday they might be somewhere else, and then, you know, you don't want to have these awkward, you know. Someone came to me and said one time, said, "Hey, you could tell all kinds of stories about people at church and families and stuff." Yeah, but so could they. So we kind of have this truce, unspoken. I'm not going around gossiping about you, and please don't gossip about me either, and we're all fine, right? But don't, you know. Live your life so there's not all kinds of huge baggage. And there's some things it's you know, it is hard, and you wonder if you did it right. But look beyond that. Look to where what these people will be sometime. A couple summers ago, for at least part of my job, I ran this big hay mower. It's got these big wings that fold out. Probably around here people think that's small, but for a way, I'd never seen it. Better, never been in the thing, never seen it. It's just huge, right? Guess who taught me how to run it? A student who had been pretty slow, actually. And I was thinking, I hope he's patient with me. And he was. I would like to think I was patient with him too, but he was very patient about it. It's interesting. A couple months ago, not very long ago, I called a board member and I said, I need some advice on this. Is this the right way? Guess what? He used to be a student. And he had some good advice. I think so. We'll find out if it works, right? So you're not just teaching these students math and language, you're teaching them life skills. And I think that can help us to kind of look beyond. Pray for your students that stress you out. I told the students this one time that year I had I tried my best. It wasn't perfect, but on the way to school, I would pray for them each by name. And I was watching one boy in particular, and I, you know, looked like, what in the world would you do that for? Because I'm guessing he never heard his dad pray for him by name. That's why I think that surprised him, and that's why I told him, right? And those kind of things. But pray for them. I one year helped this farmer load pigs, and I was much less mature than I am now, I hope. Now I pray for them. Back then, I would name pigs as I kicked them out the gate. I'd name them. You are this. That's a bad method. Pray for them instead. That's much better. Another thing I would suggest you do personally is don't be intimidated. Teach like only you can. Gather ideas. But one of the dangerous things about this kind of meeting is if you're not sure, you can take all these ideas and in one year we're going to do everything. And I can be pretty sure you're going to wear yourself out. Now, you should write down every idea you have and work it in as you can, but don't be somebody else. It won't work. You'll frustrate yourself. I can sit here and tell you about the time for devotions I brought an orphan lamb to school. The lamb was not potty trained. That's another subject we dealt with. Anyway, whatever. But this lamb ran around school all day. It was very, very tame. The children loved to feed in bottles, and that was my devotional. I can tell you that, and you might even be impressed. Do you know what has happened more often than bringing lambs to school? Children falling asleep. Now, am I going to get up front and say, I had a devotion and it was really great and they fell asleep? Oh, we don't tend to. We each have those days, all right? So be careful of comparing yourself unfairly. So, yeah, I've had students fall asleep. I've also done, I think, interesting things for devotionals, but I've also had really, apparently, very boring ones. So don't try to imitate them. And if you're an older teacher, don't be intimidated by all the new ideas and the inspiration in that way. I asked a teacher one time about some famous art project he had done that I was hearing about years later, and he said, yeah, well, they all talk about that fun day we had, but he said he made him draw all these blueprints, and he said they hated that project. But now everyone remembers that one fun day they had, and so watch out for that. Live within your limits. Beware of the 80-20 rule. 80% of your stress is probably coming from 20% of your students, so watch out for labeling stuff unfairly. Be ready to say no. If you have to, stay in your lane. Don't be teacher at church. I try to be really careful about that. In fact, I don't teach Sunday school classes almost never of students I have and things like that. You know, it's not my job. Not my job. And I will, you know, I try to go out. Give your students space. Be friendly, but understand what hat you're wearing when. Some things to do when you're at school. We already said don't do it all the first year. Be yourself. Get up and reteach something if you see everybody has problems. Get students to do tedious work. I've heard teachers say that, I've heard Yeah, teachers say that when you have a cleaning day, students should have a cleaning job. That's a fine idea. But you got a whole bunch of students, and you got checking to do. Make them do the cleaning job. There's things like that. Make them do some of that hard work. Plus, they'd rather clean than have to sit at the desk. And anyway, sloppy eaters, make them clean it up. Make the right person tired. If you're going, I've heard it said, if you go home tired at the end of the day, you did too much of the work and you're not making them do it. That's a principle. Okay, I assume you'll probably go home tired anyway. But if you got sloppy eaters and you're picking up after them, okay, this is depends on the age, well, be careful.
Disregard that bell. You got to four.
Oh, okay. Huh. Now I'm going to run out of stuff. I'm going to hurry in. That's all right. So I hear of younger grade teachers, and I'm not judging. I'm just throwing this out there. I hear of younger grade teachers who erase their students' work. Is that... Why don't you have them do it? That's a question, not a criticism. No? You should erase it for them?
Because they don't erase it well
enough. Oh, okay. Well, then why don't you teach them to erase it well? Okay. I don't know. It's that kind of thing. Analyze it. There are some times you should do it, probably. That makes sense. But are you doing it when they should be doing it? I'm just picking on that one thing because I've wondered. Be sure you're reading the right gauges. If you're letting, especially if you teach teenagers, this is the thing that would be so much fun about teaching little people. You got the meter right there on their face. You can see where it's at, right? I think it seems like that. You get teenagers and they can sit there. I remember a parent that said, "Hey, this thing you've been doing, my student just loves it. It's the greatest thing ever." I'm thinking, could have fooled me. He'd sit there real stoically while we did this thing, and I thought he's probably bored and wishes we could just go on normal stuff. He came home and he loved it. So watch out for reading the wrong gauges, because you get especially teenagers and they can be moody. And oh well. I love telling teenagers when we're having a discussion about is this useful or all these things. Okay, 10 years, we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about this, whether this hindered your life or improved your life. And I tell them I'm gonna be right, but that's fine, we'll talk about it in 10 years. I sent one boy home one time and said, "You ask your dad if after school is harder or during school, which is a harder part of his life?" I didn't hear anything from him, so I asked that. "Hey, how'd that conversation go?" "Well, he never asked me that. He knew better," right? So be sure to read the right gauges. Know what you're responsible for. Know who you're responsible for, especially if you have a student who is not in the normal class, and don't misuse that word. But if you got a student who's maybe just kind of tagging along, if that happens sometimes, those people can really wear you out. And this is, I think, one thing that really can wear teachers out is this thing of not knowing what's expected of them. So what is this child supposed to get done? How far are they supposed to get? Am I meeting expectations? And that's one thing I would really try to urge board members to, I think, make sure it's clear. Here is a student. You're just kind of babysitting, if that's the case. Make it clear. Just admit it. We hate to say it, but that's not really what we're doing. In some cases, there have been cases where that's kind of what was happening. You know, here, you give these worksheets out. You have them interact with the other students. You have them play along at recess. And that's about all we're asking. But get clear on that. If you have a student who's not running with the class, ask for clarity. And that's where I think people have, parents and board members, maybe have a hard time admitting that we are kind of just the babysitting here. But it'll wear you out if you have expectations yourself that isn't right. I like the phrase, doing your sustainable best. Because you all know you could increase your quality of teaching by a couple percent if the right person would walk in, right? It's just kind of how we are, right? So, but is that sustainable? This is what you should demand of your children. But demand that of yourself. What is sustainable? Now, if sustainable is, well, I can't teach something, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what level of pushing yourself. And admit help. Ask for it. I think especially with younger grades, when we're not getting all the review and we're not getting all the flashcards in, let's do something about it. There's no shame. The upper grade girls would love to come help do flashcards or something like that sometimes. So let's ask about it. Now, maybe your principal is going to say, okay, but what about this? Shall we work on this instead? That's fine. But if it's not getting done, pretending it's getting done is not helping anybody and long term. We already referenced this somewhat, but beware of being overwhelmed by stuff you learn at a place like this and feeling, burdening your own self down. questions, comments, quickly. That's fine. We can get more later. Some things at school. Shake up the boring. You're just bored. Move desks. Have different days. Not every day. They aren't different if you have them every day, but just do stuff. Cut out the fluff. Maybe you don't need some of this fancy stuff. Honestly, special days, school trips, hikes and all this stuff, they are more tiring than a regular day. They are wearing. You know, people act like, oh, you get a break today. I've said, well, I think I'd rather stay home. I'm sorry. It feels bad to admit. But do it for their sake. But in some cases, watch out that you've got so much exciting stuff that you're just wearing yourself out. You're not getting anywhere. Maybe clean up. It has been said, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that a messy home is a greater predictor of bad behavior than parenting style. That's a pretty general statement, but that's what they claim that they have found, that a sloppy home, and if from what I can see from driving down the road, I don't know if sloppy home is the same as I think of. We got some toys on the floor and they better get them cleaned up. I don't think that's what they're saying, or else my children are, I hope they make it. But I think they're talking about what some of these homes. That's extreme. But think about it. Is this place just a mess? And is that causing some kind of frustration? Don't let that ruin your day. We all have varying levels of tolerance, so you're going to have to figure it out. A student one time was talking about how their dad is constantly saving shoes for hard times. The student said, I just wish we'd have some hard times for once. We could use up all dad's old shoes. Is that what you got? Just kind of you're saving and cluttering, and teachers love stuff, and you know, you got, well, maybe just a little organization would help. Ben Franklin supposedly said, for every minute spent organizing, an hour is earned. So are you wearing yourself out just by some sheer one Saturday of organizing would fix it? Think about it. If you have a rewards and trinkets for behavior or performance, if you get that spiral started, you will either go broke or burn out, one of the two, or both. That would be unfortunate. But if everything is reward behavior, now I'm for rewards, and I've done some probably plenty of elaborate ones, but if they still got to obey because you're told to obey, they still got to do the lessons because they're told to, but so there's some balance in there, but if you let it just get out of hand, you will wear yourself out, either you yourself or your bank account. And I've been impressed with how little it takes. Last year I started giving my students stickers, and these are 7th and 10th graders, because I got to notice they give each other stickers. You know, I was surprised how many people had their, you know, had these sticker rows. They'd go to some of the older 10th graders who, you know, didn't want to act like they, you know, they didn't complain about the stickers, but I, you know, wouldn't want to act. And they, hey, can I have that sticker? I didn't have any that looked like that. Can I have that one? And I'm like, hey, this works. And guess how much that costs? Nothing. Not much. There was a teacher, I think that book 55 Essentials, that teacher had a policy that he had an elaborate reward system. I don't know how he kept track of it, but he had a policy if any one student asked for the reward, the whole class got canceled. He said they learned that pretty quickly. So he had a policy. I'm not putting up with all kinds of, hey, I get this. Boop. You ask, nobody gets it. That took care of it. That whole thing of using other people to punish each other, you want to be really careful with that. But that was one idea. Maybe one thing to do is just wait it out and power through. Sometimes that's what it takes. I'm sorry. I wish it was fancy. Well, somebody asked me one time, it's like, so what do teachers do? They show up at school and they just don't feel happy. I said, you smile. Fake it till you make it. Just do it anyway. How do you do that? You just get the muscles. Just do it. Sometimes I think that's the thing. Just do it. And along that line, learn to smile and laugh at yourself. I know of a teacher that had a policy. Every single day we are going to laugh at least once. And if you can laugh at yourself, as long as you're not encouraging mockery, I think sometimes people kind of degrade themselves to the point where they're almost creating disrespect. But learn to laugh. Some students one time were talking about, we have squeaky desks. And one student said, oh, every time I sit down, it squeaks. Another person, they were kind of one-upping each other, right? Well, every time I turn, it squeaks. And I thought it was being funny, but anyway, I said, well, my desk squeaks every time I think. Some of you already figured out this isn't going well. And one little boy said, one big boy, I didn't hear it squeak all day today. Oh, whoops, I'm, yeah. Just laugh at yourself because I didn't care. That's fine. I went one day. I try to be dignified at recess, but I also try to play. I'm not sure how well I do. One time, I went running after something on hard, solid ground. Suddenly, there was a mud puddle, and I did some elaborate dance maneuvers. And they mentioned this a year later about, they brought this up. Huh, yeah, that's right. Learn to enjoy this. I had a habit there for a while of driving some pretty old beaters, and I would go into pretty elaborate stories of things that they knew. Made up stories about them somewhat, but one time I literally did get locked inside my own vehicle, kind of. I finally figured out a way to get out, and they thought this was hilariously funny. And I had a parent come to me one time and say, "Are you okay the way they laugh at your vehicles?" I said, "That's the whole point! That's why I tell the stories, because it's funny and they think it's hilarious, and they... That's the whole point, right? Laugh at it." I did get out of the vehicle, by the way. I'm not still there. So get excited about the boring. I find this kind of entertaining. You get this language lesson and, you know, whatever, one of those kind or something that they're all bored about. And just be a bit dramatic. Okay, I'm dealing with upper graders here, so younger graders, so I don't know if you can over-dramatize it. Or, yeah, you probably could. But you know, upper graders, and you're all excited about this is so interesting. And they're just thinking, there's something a little wrong upstairs. I mean, nobody gets interested in this, right? Yeah, it's neat. See how this works? Now, that takes a lot of energy, too. So you're going to burn yourself out being too exciting. Keep learning. Keep expanding your understanding on subjects. And then tell them about it, too. You guys reading this book about something? One time, there was a year or two there where I read during lunchtime, and I don't know that. I don't do that anymore, not much at all. I read a book. It was on, I think it was that book, Eat Shoots and Leaves. You read that one on grammar? I think it was that one. What are you reading? Oh, it's about grammar. A book about punctuation. It's all about punctuation, isn't it? It's entirely punctuation, isn't it? A book that thick that's on punctuation? Yeah, it's really interesting. Somebody call for help. This fella is voluntarily reading a book about punctuation that's this big? Yeah, because that's a fun book. So do some things like that, and that'll hopefully get them. Be consistent. If you have to decide what to do every single day, you will wear out. Now, you don't have a rule book that thick. That's not going to work either. But make some procedures and stick with them. That's going to help you out a lot. That somewhat depends on personality. Deal with problems. Don't wait so long. Wait long enough that you know what's happening, but don't wait so long that you deal with one of the first years I taught. A student told an older sibling or friend or something that we can always tell when something isn't right, and we just know it's going to blow one of these days. Don't do that. It's just not good for them or for you. Forgive quickly, and then move on. Act like nothing happened. If you seem to hold grudges and you're kind of always sort of suspicious, that's sad. Find ways to clear the air and go. Have a small list of rules. Hold on to them. Teach them to learn. Don't fill in answers that you pointed out. Now, what can you do outside of school? Find things that energizes you. What really gives you a boost? Totally unrelated to school. And don't say drinking coffee, because that is highly related to school. Right?
Take a walk.
I've already left school and I thought all the teachers were gone. There's one car out there. Out in the ball field, playing ball by herself. I guess. Right. Out for a walk. Good, what else?
Read a book.
I thought you read books all day.
Running a bush hog with my skid steer.
There you go. Make some stuff fly. I remember seeing the boss where I worked, sometimes he'd come out of his office, he'd start sweeping the floor. Look, you pay people to do this kind of stuff. What are you doing out here? I think I know what he's doing now that I'm older. I know what's going on. We need some de-stressor, right? What else do you do? I'll tell you some things I do. I have read books. Read school books and other ones. Go to church. Serve people. I remember helping a family move. One time, this was all school families, you know, maybe it's a little embarrassing to have your teacher helping carry all the boxes to your bedroom, so I don't know how you figure that out. Remember the Sabbath day. How long does the Sabbath day work? How long is the Sabbath day for you? It's not a trick question. Is it 48 hours? Should the Sabbath include Saturday? Should you work all day Saturday? You need to figure that out. A cousin of mine was a dairy farmer, and his neighbor said, there is no way I could financially afford to work only 6 days a week. And this fellow said, I could not afford to work only, to work 7 days. I could not work 7 days a week and make it work, right? You can't either. What's tough about school is parents want to have teacher interviews Sunday after church. Maybe not all of them. So you get some stuff like that, and you can't almost escape it. And sorry, you signed up for this. That's kind of how it comes with it. But find some rest. Maybe you shouldn't do much schoolwork Saturday. And then on Tuesday, remember that the Sabbath will come. So you have to decide how much time. Get your sleep. My wife has told me that I take way more sleep during the winter, during school, than I do outside of school. Get your sleep. I think that's hugely important. Get exercise before school starts. If you roll out of bed, and if this is your personality, good for you. Roll out of bed, roll into the car, drive to school quick, and fly in behind your desk quick before they come. That would not work for me, right? Get some exercise. I know a student, and this is a student, but I think it applies to adults too. I noticed one year, he really would come to school awake. His hair was actually combed and all kinds of stuff. And I found he had chores in the morning that got him dirty enough. He had to take a shower and get cleaned up. And guess what? He was awake when he got there. Another child, I think it was that same grade, same year, said, you know, our student's kind of struggling in school. We're not having him do any work before he comes to school. That might have worked. But I thought, maybe you should try having him do a bunch of chores before he gets to school. Wake him up so it doesn't take till first recess for me to get him going. So try that. Eat well. Make summer your break. I always have a long list of things I'm going to do all during the summer, and I don't get it done. I often don't get it as much as I want to, partly because I need to do other stuff. So decide how that works. And see what you can do to help the burned-out teacher down the hall. Take it upon yourself not to go around being everybody's savior. I don't mean that. But if you see somebody's burned out, you as a co-teacher are probably going to see it before the board, unless you completely don't have good teacher relationships. But you probably will. Especially if you've been around a few years, you've seen it. Do that. A poem, very quickly. The teacher's dream. The weary teacher sat alone while twilight gathered on, and not a sound was heard around. The boys and girls were gone. The weary teacher sat alone, unnerved and pale was he, bowed by a yoke of care, he spoke in sad soliloquy. Another round of labor thrown away, another chain of toil and pain dragged through a tedious day. Of no avail is constant zeal, love's sacrifice is lost. The hopes of morn so golden turn each evening into dross. I squander on a barren field my strength, my life, my all. The seeds I sow will never grow, they perish where they fall. He sighed, and low upon his hands, his aching brow he pressed, and like a spell upon him fell a soothing sense of rest. Before this, it's describing what? Burnout! Ere long he lifted up his face, when on a startled view, the room by strange and sudden change to vast proportions grew. It seemed a senate hall, and one addressed a listening throng. Each burning word all bosom stirred, applause rose loud and long. The wildered teacher thought he knew the speaker's voice and look. And for his name, said he, the same as in my record book. The stately senate hall dissolved, the church rose in its place, wherein there stood a man of God, dispensing words of grace. And though he and thought he heard the solemn voice and saw the beard of gray, the teacher's thought was strangely wrought. I whipped that boy today. Wept for that youth whose wayward will against persuasive strove, compelling force love's last resource to establish laws of love. The church, a phantom, vanished soon. What apparition then? In classic gloom of alcoved room, an author applied his pen. My idlest lad, the teacher said, filled with a new surprise, shall I behold his name enrolled among the great and wise? The vision of a cottage home was now through tears descried. A mother's face illumined the place, her influence sanctified. A miracle, this matron, well I know, was but a wild and careless child not half an hour ago. Now when she to her children speaks of duty's golden rule, her lip repeat in accents sweet my words to her at school. Dim on the teacher's brain returned the humble schoolroom old. Upon the wall did darkness fall, the evening air was cold. A dream, the sleeper waking said, then paced along the floor, and whistling slow and soft and low, he locked the schoolhouse door. His musing heart was reconciled to love's divine delays. The bread forth cast returns at last, lo, after many days. God bless you. You can do it. And hope it would be some encouragement to make it work. You've got a great, important thing. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.